This conference is being recorded.
Oh, that was loud.
Hello, and welcome to the Heart Start Call to your week on this Monday, the 12th of May, 2008. Tonight's call is all about living your own life, leading your own life, living from the heart. The whole idea of following your heart is actually what it means to be a leader. Isn't that ironic? Because as you follow your heart, you become the author of your own life rather than living your life from the hand-me-down conditioning of parents or ancestors or school teachers or religions or all the shoulds and shouldn'ts that we get from the outside, and you start living from the inside out, which takes away a lot of pout. And if I keep the poem going, it gives you more clout, quite literally and measurably, because you're able to live in alignment with yourself, so you have something that we call energetic integrity. And we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But first, just a warm welcome to all of you that are joining us live on the call. And if you'd like, you can press star 6 if you're live on the call, which will mute your line. And if something comes up where you want to ask a question later or share a story of your own, we welcome that. Totally invite this to be an interactive experience for you. And you can press star 6 again, and that will unmute your line. And so I welcome all of you who are live on the call, those of you who are listening to this in archival recording later, and, of course, to our guest for tonight, Deborah Holly, a graduate of our intermediate level course, who has been exploring leading her own life, being her own authority, authoring her heart, her life by leading it from the heart. Living, following her heart and becoming a leader of her own life that way. And the implications of that, one piece of that is that it frees you from living for the approval of others. Interestingly enough, I had my own experience of this right before the call tonight. I was meeting with my web development team and going over my ideas for the website and finding all the reasons coming back at me why those ideas wouldn't work or why they were wrong or bad or not the right direction to go, or, well, you're not wrong, you're not bad, but we want to see it done a different way. And I have the utmost fabulous respect for this web development team. But I noticed myself starting to doubt my own sense of self and my own intuition and my own insight and my own vision with the feedback from my team. I thought, well, this is pretty apropos for tonight's call. And it's a stressful feeling. It is, right? I think the cruelest thing, this is terrible for those of you who don't know me, I'm not going to leave you with a good impression. The most cruel thing that I have ever done in my life was for my brother. He and I had normal sibling rivalry when we were kids. He was 2 years younger than I was. And when I was 6 and he was about 4 years old, I got a whole group of my friends together, and we said, Ian, what color is that? And he said red, because he couldn't pronounce his R's. And it was red, of course, and we all started laughing and saying, he thinks that's red. Ian, that's not red. That's green.
Oh, no.
A complete disorientation of his reality, right? And so this inherent need that we have, and I would say it's a need, for the approval of others, the validation of others, is not just being absent of a spine bone or being weak. It's a fundamental survival need to know that how we perceive reality is somehow accurate so that we can respond adequately to life. And we grow up learning to reference the accuracy of our perceptions based on confirmation from the outside. And yet, ultimately, if we rely on that, it can become a source of great stress. because there are so many different ways of looking at things, perceiving things. And so that can also be a source of stress. In my early 20s, I got it back and then some of what I did to Ian as I went through an absolute philosophical crisis. I was exposed to teachings of many different religious traditions, many different personal development schools, many different types of medicine. Right, I studied Chinese medicine and allopathic medicine and African medicine, Tibetan medicine, and there were certainly lots of crossover, but they all had different worldviews, different ways of looking at things. So suddenly, well, one person's telling me that eating this way is healthy, and another system is telling me eating that way is horrible for you, and you could die, and you need to eat this way. One doctor's telling me eat only raw food, and another doctor's telling me eat only cooked food. And so ultimately, there can be no external reference point for our reality. It has to come from within. And the good news is, and this is what I wrote about in the invitation bringing you here today, that in the midst of many different ways of perceiving and looking at reality, and Deborah, I'm going to suggest you start fix your phone just until we bring you on to interview, because we're getting some of that background noise you mentioned.
Okay.
Thank you so much. So great. So in the midst of many different worldviews and opposing forces and even things that confuse you, like horrible, mean older sisters, there actually is a reliable reference point for clear, direct perception of what is, but not only that, how you can navigate what is to arrive at your optimal potential and fulfillment. And what we call that at Fiera, the company that sponsors these Heart Start calls, is your heart's blueprint. And what is Fiera? Fiera is actually a feeling, the name of the company. Fiera is the feeling you get when you're in alignment, when you're living that blueprint. The experience I gave my brother that day by telling him that blue was, or red was green, was anti-Fiera. Fiera is that great feeling you get when your heart comes alive and you're living your purpose and your passion. When you feel in alignment with your heart, and you're directly perceiving life and responding to it with such authority and such leadership of your heart that you become an influence for a better world. That's Fiera. We define it as the great feeling you have when your arms fly up over your head and a yes flies out of your mouth. When you have an inner quiet knowing without needing to know how you know, that nothing and no one can take away from you. And that feeling, that inner knowing, that stability within is not just something that happens by serendipity, by accident. Science, created and investigated by researchers at an institute called HeartMath in Northern California, have discovered that feeling has something to do with the heart. And that when we feel good, not only is it good for us, it changes over 1,400 things in our body, beginning with the heart's rhythm. That feeling good actually creates an ordered pattern in the heart, which then influences hormones, the nervous system, how the brain works, how it perceives things, and how it responds to things. That in fact, as the quotation, which I think I'll read because I just think it's so accurate to this, that went out in your invitation says, the heart is in fact sending continuous confirmation and validation of our choices and signaling us when we've gone off track, when we know how to listen to its signals, that it is the source of our internal sense of security and validation, and frees us from needing validation from a fickle and philosophical world of many different perspectives and worldviews. That it's possible to live in alignment with your own heart. And not only does that reduce your stress greatly, but perhaps more importantly, brings you to a place where you can unfold your heart's blueprint, your maximum potential, your optimal life, which would be deeply fulfilling for you as well as a wonderful contribution to the world. And that's what we teach in our classes. But tonight we're going to give you a little appetizer hors d'oeuvre of that and interview Deborah about her experience of deepening in that inner reference point. I think just, Deborah, you having the courage to show up and be on a recorded call, we were talking about this before we started tonight, is an indicator of how the tools are working, right? That you would have the courage, when that's one of your pet peeves, is to be present in something that's getting recorded for posterity, right? And anytime you want to star 6 to unmute and come back, we'll start our interview, Deborah, and I'll just launch into that by reading this quotation from one of the HeartMath Institute's books called Overcoming Emotional Chaos. In reality, only the heart can ultimately give you the approval you need. The heart sends messages of approval throughout the body, through different glands, hormones, neurotransmitters, and other messenger molecules, confirming your choices. But often, before they can do their work, those messages can become clouded by emotion. The heart gives us signals when we're going a different direction than our heart intelligence would want. But we have to know how to listen to the heart signals. Sometimes they come as a stressful feeling, an inner voice of conscience that says no, or in other ways that we can learn to recognize as we decipher the language of our feelings. All of these signals from our heart intelligence are designed to align us with our core love, that which would be the highest good for ourselves and the whole, whether we understand it conceptually in the brain or not. As we learn to sense and follow the heart's intuitive direction, we come to trust how it plays out in life. Often we cannot see the bigger picture until we go down the road. Through practice and experience, we mature in stages from insecurity-based questions of our heart signals to secure knowing. And that's a great summary of what we teach in our classes, that discernment of your heart's GPS, the guidance system that would lead you beyond rational linear thinking straight into your fulfillment, your health, your well-being, and your optimal contribution to the world. And with that, I thank you so much, Deborah, for joining us and making a contribution to our Sierra family tonight on this call. So we'll have you unmute if you're not already unmuted and introduce yourself.
Well, thank you, Sheva. So my name is Deborah Hawley, and I'm not sure how to introduce myself. I guess I am in the process of really on my own, even though I have been around on this planet for half a century, really just figuring out who I am, because I have been such an artisan at being what other people want me to be, that it's really just in the last year since I've discovered the HeartMath tools and Fiera that I've begun to have more of a sense of who I am and what my inner guidance is directing me toward.
It really moves me to hear you say that. And I'd like to invite all of our listeners for a moment just to point to themselves. Wherever you are right now, whether you're listening to this as an archive or live tonight, just take a moment and point to yourself and notice where you're pointing. I work with people all over the world in every age group, and I have yet to encounter a single person, when I say point to yourself, that points to their baby toe or their belly button or even to their forehead, right? almost across the board in every culture and in every age group. Where do people point when we ask them to point to themselves, Deborah?
They point to the heart.
And so whether it takes you a half a century to get there, or whether you're one of the lucky kids in the public school system that's now receiving heart math tools thanks to several million dollars in grants from the federal government to teach the kids these tools, right, to manage their test-taking stress. There it is, your own GPS right there in the center of your chest, you, just waiting for someone to listen.
It's interesting that you would use that as a example, because a couple of weeks ago in my morning meditation, I got very clear guidance to go to a local, there's a small charter school in my small town, and I got guidance, take them the computer, take your laptop to the school and teach them the heart math tools so that when they do their star testing, they've got a little bit of a little bit of this tool to work with and help them with the stress of these state-mandated achievement tests. So I talked to the director of the school, and he said, absolutely. And I went and did about six different presentations at the school. And what just absolutely delighted me was I had to go back into one of the classrooms and in the afternoon to grab the projector, and one of the kids said, oh, it's the heart lady. It was just so, you know, just wonderful. And then I talked with the director later that day, and he said, oh, the kids just love it. So I'm actually going to do what I can to try and get them a grant and get some of that money. And, you know, it's like I'm just so full of gratitude. I want to pass these tools out to other and people and help them to find their own sense of inner security and inner strength and inner knowing and
purpose. I mean, look at that. Look at how suddenly your connection to your own heart immediately exponentially replicated itself into connection and service to so many other hearts. It's beautiful, Deborah. I want to rewind the wonderful story you just shared to that important moment, which you just glossed over, but which the Deborah Holly I met almost a year ago would not have glossed over. You would have been like, wait, what, is that me talking? The point where you said, I got this clear guidance from my heart to go to the charter school, and then you just kept going on, and so I did, and here's what happened. And yet the whole idea of having clear guidance was like a foreign language to you before, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So you can imagine we have listeners to this call who are going, well, okay, that's nice for them. There are those touched people that get, in quotes, with fingers, clear guidance, whatever that is, but I'm not one of those, right?
Right.
So can you speak to those people? What does that mean, clear guidance? And are you somebody that always had clear guidance? And where does that come from, and what is it like, and how did you hear it?
Well, you know, the image that I'm getting in as you're asking about this, or the analogy, is that I used to be somebody who stumbled around or stomped around in a puddle of water or a pool of water, and everything was so stirred up, and I wouldn't sit still long enough to allow things to settle, and I was just, you know, asking for guidance and looking down, you know, can't you show me something clearly? And then running around like a chicken with its head cut off, not allowing anything to settle and show me. And through doing the heart practices and the M-wave breathing and the tools that I've learned in your classes, I've learned to not have to immediately react. I can sit with something and allow it to sit in the heart and allow it to clear.
I think that's so well said. It's like the guidance is, it's exactly like that. I don't know if we have any scuba divers on the phone, but I'm an avid scuba diver. I just love getting in the water deep, you know. And there are days when, you know, we talk about good scuba diving days are sort of the opposite of good surfing days. because you want as placid a water as possible because you get the best visibility and you can see the furthest and see the most color and that kind of thing when you're diving. And so I love your imagery, you know, you like if you're diving and you've kind of lost your direction and your compass isn't working, the last thing you want to do is start thrashing around in the water and kicking up a bunch of plankton. You know, the way to see your way is to get still. And the nice thing about the heart mass system, because, like, Deborah, you have hours and hours each day to sit in meditation, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
Tell us just a little bit about the work you do.
I'm a computer consultant, and I write curriculum for major software vendors. So
you have very long hours, let's put it that way. Right?
Yes, exactly.
So,
and I'm in front of the computer all day. So
like many people who are listening, it's not like you have to go and sit in a cave for 8 weeks in order to let things settle and hear your guidance. It can happen literally in a heartbeat. That's what we teach people how to do. It's as simple as being able to bring immediate order to your heart rhythm on the spot, even in the midst of a stressful event, so that you can follow your heart, so that the signals to your heart are not clouded by kicking up dust, are not scrambled by the static of your stress, but the heart becomes like a tuning fork for exactly what song you need to play or what direction you need to move in, and that can happen in a heartbeat. It doesn't need to take time. I just wanted to add that piece in there. Okay, so now you've evolved to this place, Deborah, where you're one of the people that talks about, my heart told me to, or I heard my guidance, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you when you were beginning in our courses to get to a place where you had that inner quality of knowing? Because you also, you know, were not feeling like you were on track or on your purpose when you came to see me, right? You were bored with what you were doing.
Exactly. And I mean, I don't feel like I, you know, have had the miracle cure by any means, but I have definitely made, things are clearer. Still haven't made a lot of life work changes, although, again, my intuition or guidance is, and my heart are definitely nudging me toward making some more major changes in what I do with my waking hours. But I'd say the changes really, you know, they were subtle at first, but it's really this year, and it's hard for me to believe that it's already May, but it's just been the last few months where I've really started focusing on remembering to even check in and check in with myself and say, okay, you know, this or that, and take that moment to listen. I was one of those initial students that if it didn't come to me immediately, then I didn't want to be bothered. You know, I'm your typical American. I've been raised on television and, you know, if not 30-second success, certainly 30-minute success. And So it took to recognize the validity of doing the practices and allowing myself to get into the rhythm of doing the tools that I was taught, and not just expecting the instant fix. And with that, recognizing that I am worth taking the time to retrain myself. There's a real key there, because you can give me all the tools in the world, but if I don't think that I'm worthy of having a heart space and having a love for myself, you know, that's the first step.
No, I want to pause with what you just said, because I think it's so significant in relation to tonight's topic. Really so profound. In the sense that a lot of why many of us look for outside reference points for what to do rather than knowing how to decide from the inside out what we want is based on a culture that has its foundation in stories of original sin, of there being something fundamentally wrong with us, right?
Yeah.
So what you're experiencing when you start to live your life from the heart is a genuine paradigm shift where you decide and perhaps discover that who you are and what you feel is actually fundamentally trustworthy, not fundamentally wrong. And that's what I heard you say was the first shift, to be able to really give yourself the gift of listening to your heart and hearing it.
Exactly.
To feel your own worth.
Self-worth.
Yeah. Yeah, your exactly. own value. So maybe we could give the listeners tonight a little step-by-step process and take them closer to this wonderful, exhilarating transformation. For me, exhilarating, hearing where you're at relative to where you were when I first met you, right? And just to give everyone a little moment of contemplation right now of where do you not feel worthy? Where do you make yourself wrong? Where do you not trust your feelings? And that last question is in particular tricky because some feelings aren't trustworthy. And we talk about that in depth in the beginner course, right? When we talk about amygdala hijacking. Yes? Is that familiar, Deborah?
Yes, absolutely.
Where old survival emotions can kick in situations that aren't survival related, right? So our fangs can come out when our computer crashes. And yet biting the computer is not going to solve the problem. So we're in a sort of negative reinforcement, many of us, in the stress epidemic that's going on in the world, where survival-based emotions kick in reaction to things that are psychologically threatening, and then we feel it's further confirmation that we can't trust ourselves. We need to have compassion for that and understanding that at the core root of survival-based emotional reactions is emotional intelligence. And the heart can transform any emotion into information that can literally intelligently inform our responses to life. That all emotion carries information about our needs, our dreams, our desires, when we learn how to tap its intelligence through the power and intelligence of the heart. So as step one of tonight's call, bringing value home to you, the listener, just take a moment and evaluate for yourself, where do you feel unworthy? Where do you make yourself wrong or allow conditioned learning to make you wrong for what you feel, how you are, and what you want? That can be a tremendous source of conflict within and stress. So even just gaining greater awareness around those issues can help to start to shift them. As you see them show up, you'll relate to it differently now. So I wanted to just highlight that point, Deborah, that you made because it seems so important. So it sounds like step one was valuing yourself and experience a sense of self-worth that allowed you to even give your own self and your feelings the time of day.
Exactly.
Then what
and
happened? Yeah.
Learning to discern the different emotions and not just go from feeling good to feeling bad, that there's a subtlety to it and being able to recognize what's going on with this without having to analyze it. It's okay. I want to go into my head and take things apart and allow it to just simply be a feeling. And
mm-hmm. So having some kind of emotional vocabulary, which we do in the second week of the beginner course, right, in depth, creating that emotional landscape map so you get it, a real understanding of emotional terrain so that you don't have to go into a mental Freudian analysis of your emotions. You can simply recognize what the energy is doing of the emotional body and transform or transmute or harness that into directing it towards your purpose and your passion. Tuning the fork of your guidance, yeah. Okay, so that's very valuable, and maybe what we can offer listeners tonight, since we don't have time, obviously, to give them the entire beginner course in an hour, or the half an hour that's left, we can give them a little sampling of that emotional vocabulary in this way. So for those who are listening that have a pen and a piece of paper, let's just have you draw four quadrants on a piece of paper. And on the left side at the midline, I want you to draw a really chaotic, incoherent, squiggly line about a quarter of the way across your page. And on the right side at the midline, I want you to draw a coherent, even sine curve, even hills and valleys, traveling the remaining half of your page. So for many of our students, just having that image, those two lines, one that's chaotic, one that's ordered, gives them the emotional vocabulary they need. Did you work with that at all, just keeping that imagery on your desktop in your mind, Deborah?
Well, a lot of times when I breathe, I simply imagine that sine wave.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what were you gonna say?
The smoothing, the in, the out, from working with the M wave, just that image helps me to smooth things out inside.
And so when she's referring to the M wave is actually a biofeedback technology that is included in our Heart Mastery program that you carry around with you, just like a little stress iPod or a little heart guidance iPod that helps tune the signal of your heart so that your brain can hear it, brings order to your heart rhythm by reflecting back to you when you're in chaos or coherence.
I'm actually talking about the one on the computer where I literally see it since I'm at the computer all day.
Uh-huh, right. There's a computer version as well. Yep.
I'm a nerd, what can I say?
I love the computer version. Yeah, it's great. So, but just so for listeners who are brand new to what we're even talking about, that's what the M-Wave is. It's another piece of our program that operates like a mirror, so it grounds what we're talking about and makes it very tangible for you. Because what HeartMath discovered is that emotions that are survival-based, things like anger, which would go in the upper left quadrant of the map you're starting to piece together now of emotional vocabulary or terrain. Anger, frustration, worry, fear, anxiety, irritation. Those types of emotions go in the upper left quadrant where they're very high ampy energy and driven incoherence in the heart rhythm, which at their root, as I look at those emotions, are beneficial in a direct survival threat. Right? But doesn't work so well in traffic. All it does is scramble the GPS of our heart so we don't know which side streets to take to beat the traffic because our brain shuts down when the heart scrambles. So you can look at those emotions and just evaluate, you know, do you think clearly when you're in that state? Do you get creative or inspired in that state? Most people are going to say no because, in fact, the brain shuts down under those emotional states, part of our intelligence, that we don't want to think about the most scenic route to go to get away from a tiger who's chasing us. You just want to bolt. So we shut down our thinking brain under stressful emotions like those, or even stressful emotions like that are going to go in the lower quadrant here, lethargy, depression, resignation or boredom, hopelessness, despair. Those lower left emotions have the same impact on the heart rhythm. They create disorder in the heart rhythm and scramble the heart's messages to the brain. There's literally a brain that's been discovered in the heart. An intelligence with its own proteins, neurotransmitters, support cells, nervous system, that's sending 80% of the communication north, meaning the bulk of the information. And in the latest HeartMath research that's now been published, also intuition, meaning the heart brain knows before the brain knows. It's sending 80% of the information up to the brain and the head, and it knows things first. Wouldn't you want to be able to tap into that information?
Absolutely.
Especially if you want to live your purpose and your passion. And yet, that information is completely scrambled in a stress reaction. The higher brain centers in the brain shut down, close off the signal to the heart. It's like they turn their radio off and go, okay, we're jumping out of the plane. We don't have access to the radio anymore. So at a time often when we need it the most, when we're trying to navigate through choice points in life, through decision making, through stressful moments, we need the heart's intelligence online. We need to know how to listen to it, access it, and discern the difference between the heart signals and these incoherent survival-based emotions. But here's the good news. Deborah, that chaotic line on the left side where we just mapped out what those emotions are, what's it made out of?
Energy.
Exactly. And what's the coherent line made out of?
More energy.
They're both made of the same stuff, right? On your piece of paper, they're both made out of ink, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a difference in how they're flowing, how they're moving. So you can teach yourself, as Deborah has been doing over the last year, to translate the incoherent or chaotic stress mess into fuel for order, passion, purpose, and coherence. When you know how to make that shift from the left side of the map to the right side, where the heart rhythm takes on this ordered pattern of the sine curve. So what emotions, Deborah, are going to generate that ordered sine curve on the right side of the map in the heart rhythm?
Compassion. And joy and appreciation certainly is. Appreciation is one of my all-time favorites these days.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude.
I love appreciation and gratitude also because it's such a great instant transformation tool, right?
Yes.
One of the things that we cover in depth in the beginner course is, you know, you don't want to be putting chocolate icing on rotting banana peels. If you're feeling despair and we're saying, just feel good and then your brain will work better and you'll see what you need to do and you'll see the situation differently. And so you walk around going, okay, so I just need to be a Stepford wife and feel good even though I feel bad. That doesn't work so well, does it? So one of the things we teach you is how to genuinely access a positive emotion in the midst of stress. And appreciation is a wonderful way to do that because you can always find something to appreciate. I've talked to people, clients, who've been suicidal with me on the phone in a crisis, and I've said things like, okay, let's find anything to appreciate. Does your tongue hurt right now? Literally, one person told me I saved his life with that question because he felt like everything in his life was pain. And then he was able to focus his attention and go, wait, no, my tongue doesn't hurt. I said, okay, that's it. Let's just appreciate that your tongue is pain-free. And it sounds absurd, but whatever you can find to appreciate, and most people are not in that an extreme crisis, But like someone brought me these beautiful flowers yesterday, brilliant, gorgeous red and maroon flowers. Just the smallest thing, even just appreciating that, is enough to begin to bring this order to your heart rhythm and transform the chaotic emotional patterns of uncertainty or confusion or distress into a more ordered pattern that changes the way your brain works and allows little heart messages, signals from the GPS, the guidance system in your heart, to sneak in. This is why we tell people, sleep on it. You'll see it differently or you'll get an insight. Because when you sleep, ideally, your heart goes into that ordered pattern. And that's when the heart signal is tuned so the brain can receive it and the brain is open to hearing it. So that was step two for you, Deborah, was gaining this kind of discernment, which we just gave people a broad stroke overview of tonight, right?
Right.
Of the incoherent emotions versus the coherent ones, knowing the coherent ones facilitate hearing heart's guidance. And the good news about that, of course, is that even if, you know, you don't pursue the work with Fiera or take our classes, you can walk away from this knowing that when you're in a distressed state, you can be certain you're not perceiving whatever situation is facing you with clarity. You're not seeing it accurately. You can't be. Your brain is shut down. So there's no use getting more and more upset about a situation you're not perceiving accurately anyway. And the only way you can navigate from your heart guidance system is to look at it from a more balanced emotional place. So whatever tools or techniques you use to get there, at least you can walk away with that. You can't tap into your guidance when you're distressed.
One little trick that I used for myself earlier this year, I had a vacation, and you'd think going on vacation would be a pleasurable thing, but I kind of, when I'm in a good space, I'll plan these vacations for myself, and then as they get closer and closer to vacation time, the fear comes in, and I think, oh my God, what have I committed myself to? So I practiced sitting and closing my eyes and just listening to the sounds around me and petting my dog. So I had sounds that I could remember and tactile sensations that I could remember and really, really anchoring those in myself. And the sounds of all the different birds where I live was something that I really do appreciate. And I just love the diversity of all the different birds that are there. And as I went on this vacation and was in foreign lands and on the other side of the planet and totally mixed up as far as, you know, literally upside down, different season where I went, I found myself every morning listening to the birds. And they were exotic-sounding birds to me, but it was always incredibly soothing. And I found myself being able to listen wherever I went for the birds, and it would bring me back to that sense of gratitude and excitement and adventure as opposed to, oh my God, these are foreign sounds, and it just gave me such an appreciation of the diversity. And it's funny, as I say that, this bird just flew across, and I can see it now outside the window. So there's just, and birds come to me now. It's so bizarre. So there's an
appreciation. Well, just like the stock market, what you appreciate literally appreciates, right? You increase its value. You attract and draw more of that into your life.
There you go.
Beautiful. And, of course, we have, you know, the heart math science takes the woo-woo and the mystery out of that a little bit and explains through electrical fields of the heart's output that we teach in the more advanced courses and how the heart extends its electrical field 8 feet beyond an average person's body. So this is your point of interface with the world around you in terms of being able to attract and draw in and magnetize more of the experiences you choose and want to have. And learning to create that internal order, then it begins automatically to reflect outwardly in ways that we can teach you to consciously master, or at least, you know, start to create, as you said. It's not like a miracle cure. What it is.
Darn.
Is what was that, Sarah?
I said darn.
Darn. Well, the truth is, though, you know, the whole yearning to have a miracle cure is founded on the story that there's something wrong with us. And the miracle is to discover that we're fundamentally pretty right.
And there is, I have found, there is a inherent sense of appreciation and gratitude that comes from making the commitment, for myself anyway, that comes from making the commitment and following through. There is something very satisfying about saying, I'm going to do this, and making it a part of my daily practice. We've talked before about the fact that I have now got a daily practice of walking, even though it took me out into what I at first perceived as a scary world, even just walking in my neighborhood. Not that my neighborhood is scary, but I was in a scary space, so that's what I took with me. And something about committing, making that commitment to myself and having that self-worth and following through and taking the time and making that daily commitment, and it is something that it just feels good to follow through.
Now, that came from the inside of you, not from life telling you, you should walk every day, right?
Right. It was me knowing that this is something, and I now look forward to it. I guess what I'm trying to say is that the process itself becomes rewarding. I don't think I would have wanted that miracle cure. I joke about how nice it would be, but then I would have lost the adventure itself.
That's so well said. I love that. That's right. It's actually the process of gaining intimacy with your heart's guidance is an adventure unto itself. It's a relationship that builds, isn't it, over time? Just
exactly.
Like, you know, you meet a friend and maybe you have a phone call or you go out for tea and then maybe you have dinner next time and you have a few dinners and then you think you could handle a weekend together and then maybe, you know, and you just build the intimacy, and that's how it is following your heart's guidance, especially as you're learning the discernment of what's guidance and what's instinct and fear. And then as you begin to self-reference those things and take risks to follow your own heart, maybe at times in the face of what enculturation would say is a good idea or what enculturation would say is a bad idea, really gaining the discernment of what's your voice versus all those other competing voices. Because what I love about your walks is, Deborah, I remember working with you in class when that insight or that guidance came to you. And, you know, it never worked for a doctor to tell you, you should exercise more, right?
Right, no. And then I was ultra resistant.
Right. So whether you resist external authority or cow down to it, it's still the same problem. And the beauty is that when it comes from your own heart, there's a joy in doing something rather than an obligation or a resistance.
Exactly. It's an empowering process.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so well said. And as you discovered from your heart guiding you to go on walks, often the heart is tackling multiple things in one fell swoop. It has many gifts for us in one directive, things that you weren't even expecting, right? Like you started to wave at your neighbors and things like that, right? There was more of a sense of community that built. So it wasn't just good for your physical health. It expanded you in multiple dimensional ways.
And that's funny that you would point that out, because literally on that multiple dimension wave, what I've just recently done, I have the good fortune of having a lot of acreage where I live, and I've just cleared out a good piece at the front, and it's opened up now as you drive my house. It's all open, and it's like, what an interesting metaphor. As I'm becoming more comfortable with being in my own space and opening things up, that's literally what I've just done in the front acre of my home. It's open now, and you can see the shapes of the trees and the richness of the what's naturally there, as opposed to all the shrubs and the brush just being so thick that you couldn't see through it. You couldn't appreciate what was there because it was such tangled underbrush.
You know, one of the things that I love about the M-Wave on the computer, the games, is the game that starts in black and white, and as you shift to the right side of the grid you guys laid out today, to a coherent heart rhythm and all the benefits that brings, the garden and the game turns into color, and it, you know, you get deer and birds and all these things that fly in. And that is such a metaphor to me of what it is to start learning how to, not just metaphorically, but quite literally through the heart math system, put your heart into your life. It takes something that can be gray or dull or going through the zombie motions of living in habituated mechanical patterns into full technicolor creativity and engagement with the wild adventure of life. And I just love the metaphor of you opening up your whole front yard to the world. It's great.
Yeah, I find it quite comical as I was out there working last weekend. It's like, I'm definitely opening up to be seen in many different levels.
It's beautiful. I don't want to diminish for our listeners, because I remember myself when I found heart math, how frightening it can be at times to be considering, you know, feeling pulled in your heart to do something that your tribe is in disagreement with, whether that's marrying a person that's not of your religion or leaving the corporate setting that you've worked in for 20 years or any of those moments of crises that occur where we reach that hinge point in the maturity of the development of our soul, of living from our own heart rather than from what the tribe says we should do. And I just want to acknowledge for everyone that living in alignment with the herd is a base survival need for herd animals. And as human beings, we were tribal, you know, in our survival in the jungle or in the prairie. And so this is not just something small we're talking about. We're talking about the evolutionary steps a species is making to live not just motivated by survival, which is to need the external approval of the tribe in order to stay protected in the herd and the huddle, but to really have the freedom to live from our own individuated heart. And I found personally the HeartMath system a wonderful set of tools to empower that freedom for me. And Deborah, it sounds like you have as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Is there anything else you want to share with the listeners before we open up the call for their own stories or their own questions?
Nope. This is an excellent time for that.
Okay, good. Let's do that. Make sure if you're muted to press *6 to unmute. If there's anything you want to share, anything you want to ask Deborah before we close the call for this evening. If there are no questions, then let's do this. Let's have everyone just focus your attention on the area around your heart and allow the breath to come in through the heart. And out through the heart. And just connect right now with something you appreciate. We're going to tune the channel of your heart's guidance and breathe that appreciation in through the heart. And out through the heart. And just be receptive to let your appreciation be a lantern that guides your way. Maybe just for this evening. The heart's guidance, the heart's signals, your inner validation won't always come as verbal, turn left at the next light. Sometimes it's just a feeling of being at peace or a feeling of not wanting to go a certain way. Sometimes it can be verbal and it's communication, sometimes not. So just experiment for yourself. What does it mean to follow your heart? What does it mean to trust yourself rather than look for outside validation? And let that be a source of inquiry as you step into your evening. And if any of you feel guided from the heart to learn more about what we do at Sierra, you can reach me directly at 310-581-1507. You can also visit our website, which is F like fantastic, YERA.com. That's www.sierra.com. And we have a beginner course that just began last Tuesday, but it's not too late to hop into that. If you want to join us tomorrow night, you can contact me this evening or tomorrow, and we can get you set up to catch up and join in. And Deborah, thank you so much for having us this evening. I really appreciate you being here, and so appreciate that. I didn't even know you were on fire bringing this to school. Look at that. Champion. It's beautiful. Thank you for spreading the heart.
thank you for the tools that you've given me to take out and spread.
So, yeah, we'll have to talk more about that. I'm just thrilled and of course, delighted that you're experiencing the fruition of your sincere application of what you've learned. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great night. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.